What's up, Dub Nation? Recording this on Wednesday, March 31st. Before we jump into things, don't forget you could subscribe to our podcast either through iTunes or Spotify. Usually do this on video. Couldn't do it this week, but we'll be back on YouTube. You can subscribe to our page there as well at Golden State of Mind. This is Jazz Kang. For those of you who didn't know, joining me as always is Brady Klopfer. Brady, what is going on, my man?
Not a whole lot, you know. Steph's back, so life's at least watchable again. That's, you know, that's kind of the only news over here.
You didn't enjoy those 9 days without getting to, or those 6 days where you didn't get to see them play there, Brady? Because the first Memphis win we all enjoyed, but after that week was not very pretty.
Yeah, you know, it was so bad because that first Memphis game, you're like, all right, well, maybe they'll be fine with Steph. And at the time, we only thought he was going to miss both of those Memphis games. And then, you know, they play the second Memphis game and you're like, oh, right, I forget that this team is really bad without Steph. And then you find out, oh, he's going to be out even longer. And it was just bad news after bad news. And those games. I mean, I just want to say a thank you, a gigantic thank you to Jordan Poole. Because without Jordan Poole, I don't think there was a single thing about the last week of Warriors basketball that was in any way, shape, or form enjoyable to watch.
Well, that third quarter against Philadelphia was fun. That was awesome.
That's true.
I was like, all right, they're going to do this. They're going to pull it off. And then obviously we saw what happened in the fourth. But, you know, you mentioned Curry's return. What a different team. Like that win against Chicago, who, again, you know, we could admit not a very great team, at, you know, themselves, the Bulls. But just the way the offense was moving, you know, they scored 34 points in the opening quarter, had 65 at half. Obviously, Steph, you know, being Steph has a big impact on that. But you just see the way that the team is built. And I almost feel like when I'm watching them, they're like, I'm like, dude, they're just setting screens and hoping Steph gets the ball in the position to shoot. Because the rest of those guys, I mean, we've seen it. Nobody else can create. But when you were watching that Bulls game, what's the biggest difference you noticed with Curry back in the lineup versus the previous four without him?
You know, I guess this is kind of an obvious thing, but for me, it pounded into place how much everyone gets to slide back into their role. Because it's not just a matter of you lose your best player and one of the best players in the league and everyone else goes about as normal. When Steph is out, Andrew Wiggins has to play a bigger role. Kelly Oubre Jr. has to play a bigger role. You know, Jordan Poole has to play a bigger role. Draymond Green has to score. James Wiseman has to be better. And with the exception of Poole and Wiggins there for a game or two, those players can't do that. That's not their role. You know, this sounds kind of rude, but, you know, role players are role players for a reason. And when you remove the star players, then the role players have to be more than role players. And that's just not what they're capable of doing. So, you know, I don't think it's as simple math as like you have the Warriors with Curry and you have the Warriors without Curry, because when Curry is out there, everyone gets to slide into the role that they're supposed to play on the team. And when Curry is out there, everyone gets slid and forced into a role that they're not supposed to play. And surprise, surprise, not very good at it.
Do you think there's anything Steve Kerr could be doing differently in the non-Steph minutes? I mean, we talked about this a ton before, but, you know, especially those 12 minutes roughly that he isn't playing at the beginning of the second and the beginning of the fourth. Anything you'd like to see him maybe mix up in terms of on the offensive end? Or are we starting to get some confidence in Jordan Poole in the sense of, okay, you know, we have Jordan Poole, not even to put him in the same stratosphere as Steph, but I'm saying, you know, as a scorer, you can maybe look at, all right, let's run a similar style of offense, but kind of feed him the ball in the Steph role. Steph is like an A+, and Jordan Poole at this point is still like a C+, B- in his career. I'm not gonna pump him up at that point. But yeah, do you think that Kerr should be implementing anything different there?
You know, I feel like that's kind of been the question of the whole season, even when Curry's out, is how much do you focus on what can give you the best results immediately, and how much do you try to work players into the system so that they can be the best possible player in the role you envision them in the future when this team is hopefully contending for a title next year with Klay Thompson. So it's a hard one. I do think that there are things that Kerr could do when Steph is out to make the team better in the terms of having a better chance of winning that particular game. But when you do that, you sacrifice the steps that they're all making in the Warriors system. And the more you actually stay within the system, the more they grow, the better they are for next year and potentially the better your team is. So, you know, that's kind of a cop-out answer as you're used to me making here, Jazz, but yes and no. I mean, I definitely think the Warriors can be doing a lot of different things. that would maximize their chances more of winning. But a lot of those things come at the expense of becoming the best possible team you can for next year. And I don't think you necessarily want Andrew Wiggins and James Wiseman to get used to doing things that you then want to tell them not to do next year when Steph and Clay are on the court.
There's your strong takes with Brady Clefer right there. There's the segment right there. We got to get that sponsored by Frosted Flakes, right?
That's my new radio show. Very, very extremely strong takes.
No, I'm with you. You're trying to get Wiseman. You're trying to get Jordan Poole, Nico Mannion to a lesser extent. You're just trying to get them to play the right way, right? And learn the game. And it's funny, even watching the NCAA tournament, you're noticing like Gonzaga, these guys aren't going to be, none of them are going to be great NBA players. You know what I mean? But they just know the game so well. And so if they do get signed in, you know, and they do get picked in the draft and then they're in the NBA, they're going to come in with a leg up. And I think that's what Steve Kerr's trying to do. Cause even, you know, you're talking about Wiseman, and I wrote about this in the latest piece I did for Golden State of Mind is, you know, they got to hope that he can start asserting himself a little bit more, but he's got to pick up winning habits. I mean, dude only played 3 games in college, you know, so he virtually went high school to the NBA. You know what I'm saying? So he's got to learn that. And I'm with you, you know, developing the habits. And I wrote this in the piece I'm talking about too, is getting these guys into the playoffs, just getting in. And, you know, nobody's expecting them to do anything. I've said this, you know, before, getting to see Steph in a 7-game playoff series, potentially winning 3, even 4 games on his own by scoring 45 points tonight would be a lot of fun. But at a deeper level, getting James Wiseman, getting Jordan Poole, these minutes where everything is ramped up, these teams are now prepared for everything that you do in terms of their scouting reports. They know if you're going left or right, they know which way, you know, your first option is, your second option. So I think that's going to be important for them. But, you know, looking at Wiseman so far and how he's played and, you know, since he's returned back to the lineup after the health and safety protocol absence, what is one thing that you're looking at from him and saying, you know what, he really, really, really needs to hone in on this in order for him to not even live up to the fact of being a number 2 pick, but just living up to his potential as an individual?
Well, I think aggression is the thing that he really needs to work on, and that manifests in a lot of different ways. But right now we see when he gets the ball, his first instinct is to go away from the hoop rather than to it. He wants to face up. He wants to shoot jumpers. He wants to usually take a dribble or a step backwards before taking those jumpers. We don't see him really attacking the rim either with or without the ball. And then you see that on the other end of the court as well. He's not a very aggressive defender. You know, he fouls a lot, which you sometimes think of as going hand in hand with being aggression. But in his case, it really is more because he's out of place. He's not where he needs to be. And frankly, he hasn't been a very good rebounder. And all of these things are natural. Like you said, the guy's only played 3 college games. He's only played about, you know, 30 NBA games. He didn't have a training camp because of the coronavirus. He just turned 20 a few days ago. You know, none of this should be surprising. These are the things you expect from a player in his position. But for me, when I watch him, I see right now a player who has the weaknesses of a 7-footer, but not the strengths of them. So that's not giving you any advantages over teams that you wouldn't better have if you played with Draymond Green at this 5 or with another smaller player at the 5, because right now he's kind of playing like a 3 or a 4 who's been thrust into the role of a 5. He's happier shooting jumpers. He's not rebounding. He's not protecting the rim. I just need to see aggression both ends of the court, and that'll come with experience. And more importantly, that'll come with a full offseason being in an NBA training regimen with trainers who are telling you what to eat, how to exercise, how to do this and that. I suspect he'll come back next season 20 to 30 pounds heavier with muscle, and that helps.
How confident are you on a scale of 0 to 10 that Wiseman will play in multiple All-Star games in his career?
4.
Ooh, that's pretty low, Brady.
That is pretty low. I don't have a lot of confidence in most people becoming All-Stars. You know, that's a hard club to get into, especially in the Western Conference. That's a really, really hard club to get into. They don't make a lot of All-Stars. And with the longevity of stars in the league, I mean, you look at it, you go, sure, there are 24 All-Stars every year, but you look at, you know, 15 of those 24 you can pencil in before the season starts as your Steph Currys, your LeBron Jameses, your Nikola Jokic's, and so on and so forth. There's not a lot of room there for those kind of more fringy players. I don't expect Wiseman to ever be that player that you pencil in every year as an All-Star. I think there's a very decent chance that he is a multiple time All-Star, but I'm not willing to.
Clearly not that decent, Brady. You give it below 50%. You're at 40% right now. You're not that.
Look, yeah. Look, I'm not going to put money on him not being a multiple time All-Star, but gun to my head. it's an uphill battle for a player in his position. You know, I think he's very talented. I love his work ethic. The Warriors are extremely high on him, and that means a lot. But man, it's an uphill battle for a 20-year-old after 30 NBA games, unless you're, you know, Zion. It's hard to bank on that with anyone, really.
Yeah, that you know, he's in a weird position too, where, like I said, if Wiseman was selected in or was available as a draft pick, you know, in 2002, 2004, like he's going to be the focal point of an offense. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's just the way the game was played. But I think he will play in multiple All-Star games. I don't think we'll see it in the first 4 or 5 years. I think as he gets into, you know, year 6, 7, and he's, you know, 26, 27 years old, really coming into his athletic prime then, and his prime as a man at that point, I think you'll see him take another step. When we're looking at the overall picture now, I mean, the Dubs are sitting at 23 and 24, still hanging on to that 10th, you know, the 10th seed as of the time we're recording this. Looking at the last 25 games, they got a very easy schedule, third softest in the NBA, 15 out of 25 games against teams that are below 10th in the East or Western Conference. What are you looking for over this, and where do you think they're going to end up overall in the standings?
You know, primarily I'm looking for consistency, which is a thing we haven't had with this team. Well, we've had consistently, you know, mediocre and consistently average with them. You know, the fact that they went so long without a 3-game winning streak or losing streak was pretty sensational. But, you know, they look really good in a lot of their wins, and they look atrocious in a lot of their losses. What I'm looking for is a team that just consistently plays decently. And that doesn't mean winning all your games. It doesn't even mean winning a lot of games. But right now, it really feels like every time they lose, they just look horrible. And I need to see a team that looks like a competent basketball team, night in, night out, even when they have a guy missing a game or two, even when they're playing a good team. They just need to look better. And having this weak schedule helps them with that, obviously.
Well, getting rid of Brad Wanamaker will help
that. Getting rid of Brad Wanamaker helps, for sure. The new rotations definitely help. Steph Curry being healthy definitely helps. A lot of things trending in the right direction there. As for the standings, I think the most realistic spot for them is to end up 8th. You know, at the time we're recording this, they're 10th. They're a game and a half behind 8th. The two teams right in front of them are the Grizzlies and the Spurs. Those aren't good teams. I'm not looking at their schedules right now, but I think it's safe to say the Warriors have an easier schedule than them. So assuming Steph Curry stays healthy, I really think they should be able to get by those two teams pretty easily and slide up into the 8th spot. Then you're looking at, can you pass the Mavericks? Do the Blazers, who haven't actually been that good in terms of net rating, but have always found a way to win games, do they, you know, fall off and start to lose some games? I do think getting up to 7 or even 6 is still in the fold. I think it's something they could do, something they should be working towards. But I think the 8 seed is the likely destination.
Yeah, I think they'll finish somewhere at 8 or 9. And I think that's a result of their schedule. The Mavericks have the easiest schedule left in the NBA. They've, you know, 5-5 for the last 10. But I mean, overall, they have looked better since starting the season sluggish, where they did have a really, really tough schedule. I think the Mavericks are going to hang on to that. And then you're looking at, you know, either a game against San Antonio, Memphis, you know, San Antonio or Memphis in the play-in round. And then you got to hope you get through that. And I think it's going to be interesting to see, because, you know, like I said, just getting in and having the chance to let's be honest, Curry's going to shoot 30 shots a game, right? If they make the playoffs, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I think that what I'm looking for over these final 25 games is, like you mentioned, number one, consistency. You know, they haven't been, you know, very, very good for long stretches. They haven't been very poor for long stretches either. Then, you know, obviously when they're with their own Steph. But I think the other thing I'm looking for too is, are they going to be able to start getting more out of guys like Wiseman? You know what I mean? Like, is he going to be able to, can he average, you know, 15, 16 a game over the last 25 games here? And that's not going to come from him, setting up in the post, that's going to come from him being able to, you know, get the ball off lobs like we're seeing, or, you know, he's the right man on the drive and dish, and he's able to get dunks. And I also want to look at guys like Damian Lee, and I want to look at, you know, some of the secondary guys, Eric Pascal, you know, when they get back in, when they get into the games, are they going to be able to contribute? And I think that's what I'm really going to be looking for. It's been the same story all season, but if they are able to do that, I think they'll have a lot better opportunity of not only getting in the playoffs, but I mean, mind you, look, I mean, Utah, I think, is a terrible matchup for them. The Lakers are going to fall down the standings. I'm interested to see where, because without LeBron and AD, they're obviously not a very good team, and they have a hard schedule coming up, their next 10, 11 games. So I'm interested, but I do think that the Warriors could give the Suns a run for their money in a playoff series. I think they can give the Clippers a run for their money in their playoff series. So for me, I'm wanting them to get up to a point, you know, most likely that they are going to take on the second seed. I think Utah would be a terrible matchup for him, but who's one team you want to look at if they do get into the playoffs that you want to avoid, assuming they get into a 7-game series with them?
I think Utah is just a team that I don't want to see for the Warriors. And it sounds crazy to say that, because they're the team that lacks the star and talent that the other teams kind of in there have. But right now, you know, the Warriors have had 50 or so games to prove that they can build a quality offense around one of the greatest offensive players in NBA history. And they've failed miserably. And even if they go to a more Steph-centered offense in the playoffs, which I expect them to, there's just been nothing about this season that suggests to me that they're capable of being a good offensive team. So you go against really a truly elite defensive team who then has a player like Rudy Gobert, who, you know, isn't the star at the level that a lot of these other teams have, but it's hard to think of a worse matchup at the center position for James Wiseman than Rudy Gobert, who will just make him a non-factor on offense and who will expose his inability to defend in the pick and roll. To me, just from an X's and O's standpoint, that matchup is awful for the Warriors.
Oh yeah. 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 Rudy Gobert would make life a living hell for James Wiseman, but again, that's where you want to see him. And you're not winning a championship this year. You know, the Warriors just aren't, and that's where he needs to be. And that's where he's going to learn the most. And again, it might be hard for him. And, you know, I'm not comparing the two. I'm just looking back at, you know, when Kobe was playing with the Lakers and, you know, airballing those shots against Utah, and, you know, and he's coming up in the league and that kind of stuff, is like, that's where you're going to grow from. And I think for a guy like Wiseman going at, you know, in a 7-game series against a player like Gobert, where he's smarter, he's more veteran savvy, he knows where to be, he's going to make life difficult on him, I think that'd be a perfect learning experience for him. So I think that's where, for me, you're looking at this as in just get into a 7-game series, see what happens. Again, we're hoping fans are allowed into the Chase Center by, you know, maybe in the next couple of weeks here, that we're going to get more and more people flowing in, depending what happens with the vaccine here in California. But I think if you're looking at that to me is has to be the goal at this point, is get in for a 7-game series. Who cares about your pick? It's going to fall somewhere, you know, close to 15, 20 in that range. And if you get that, you can parlay that and worry about that in the offseason. But right now, building a team, building that experience and building the culture for the young guys, I think is really priority number one at this point.
Yeah, fully agree. And you know, I think that's doubly true this year, because, you know, the regular season is 10 games shorter than in a normal year. We still don't know if there's going to be summer league or not. So, you know, these players don't have as many developmental opportunities as they might have had in a more normal year. So, you know, even removing the playoff part and the improved competition and whatnot, just being able to get James Wiseman 3 or 4 more games this season is huge, mm-hmm. since we don't know if there's going to be a summer league, since he's going to probably only play about, you know, 50 games this year when you consider the shortened schedule, the injuries he's had, the health and safety protocols, this and that and that. Just more games that he can get on the floor, the better.
Yeah, and I think that goes for guys like Poole, guys like Mannion, again, just everybody in that rotation. Eric Pascal, if you're looking at the younger boys, even Kelly Oubre, you know what I mean? Get him into the playoffs. Yeah. Andrew Wiggins, get these guys some more games when it matters, because when Klay returns, and we'll see what they do in the offseason, you know, whether they use that Minnesota pick, if it falls at 4 or 5, or if they end up shipping it off, whatever they do, you guys better be ready to come in and win next season. Because if you think Draymond Green's yelling a lot now, if they're playing this way next season and they got a loaded team, he's going to be even more pissed off. So I don't think they want to deal with that.
Yes, very true.
Well, that does it for this episode of the Collaborative Warriors podcast. As I mentioned off the top, don't forget, you can check us out on iTunes and Spotify. Brady and I will be back next week with our video series. You can catch it on YouTube at Golden State of Mind. And of course, Brady, me, we got you covered throughout the rest of the season and through the offseason as well. We don't just shut off when the news stops with the games, but you can check us out all season as well at goldenstateofmind.com. That does it for this episode. We'll catch up with you all next week.